Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Hello, viewers and listeners. Welcome to the Wrestle Horror Podcast. My name is Meat Hook Jim. With me is my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, what is going on?
Oh, man, you know, same old stuff, just wrestling and podcasting. That's what we do. Haunted house and, you know.
Not a lot of wrestling going on, but we're trying.
Right. Yeah. No, I watched an interesting movie last night called Host. It was an hour-long horror film on Shudder, and it was basically like it was about people getting on there and doing a Zoom meeting, which is what we're doing. So it was a pretty interesting horror film, just an hour horror film, which was an interesting concept.
So do I have to look over my shoulder from time to time?
you might. Well, according to this movie, that don't matter.
No, I can see, so let's hope that's not the case. But I'd like to welcome our special guest on this episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. His name is David Stockwell. That name may not sound too familiar, but another name he has does sound familiar, but we'll get to that in a little bit. David, how are you doing this afternoon?
Jim, I am doing excellent. I certainly appreciate you and Donnie reaching out to me to be a guest on the podcast today.
Well, we are absolutely happy to have you. And I know Donnie and I have been wanting to get you on here for a while, so we're excited. And, you know, we do a Wrestle Horror Podcast, and you do a podcast too. What can you tell us about that?
I do, actually, under a slightly different name than I am known by in certain circles, that being David Barnabas Spector. I actually host a podcast called Radio Dark, where we talk about pro wrestling, we talk about the paranormal, we talk about all things that go bump in the night. So definitely up your fella's alley. I've had some pretty interesting guests. We've talked about things like our four-way and trips into Bobby Mackey's, the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, different haunted buildings throughout New York and the East Coast. I've had a gentleman on named Chris Mysterion, who is a member of the Sentimentalists, who has been on Penn & Teller's Fullest program. He's been on America's Got Talent. He has roots in pro wrestling, and it also is an illusionist and a bit of a magician himself. And so we talk to a lot of interesting people, definitely have pro wrestling individuals on as well. But the podcast is Radio Dark. You can find it over on Spreaker, Spotify, iTunes, basically all of your main podcast outlets.
Excellent. It does sound definitely right up our alley, covering a lot of the subjects we cover. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you, how did you get started in podcasting?
Well, you know, in the past, Jim, I have a background in radio broadcasting. So I went to school for radio and television. I actually worked in radio for a handful of years when I still lived in upstate New York. I've worked for Clear Channel Radio, which is, you know, one of the largest media companies in the entire world. Worked for some small independents as well. So I actually have a legit radio background, both as an on-air talent, producer, production, et cetera, et cetera. And over the years, I've dabbled here and there in podcasting in different formats. And with Radio Dark, that's essentially probably the best reflection and representation of my true interests, which again are, you know, obviously a lifelong pro wrestling fan, but on top of that, just a love for the odd, the different, and the strange, and just things off the beaten path. You know, growing up in upstate New York, you know, if you believe in public, if you will, to quote the great Dusty Rhodes, you know, if you believe in the paranormal, if you believe in ghosts and apparitions, et cetera, because of New York being, a lot of buildings in New York being older, seems to be kind of a hotbed for activity. So that's kind of where my fascination first came to fruition, was at that point. And it's kind of stayed with me over the years, just being interested in things off the beaten path. So, you know, the current incarnation of the podcast, Radio Dark, definitely a true reflection on just myself and the things that I'm actually truly interested in.
Very cool. It's great when you've really got a subject, not only that you're passionate about, but you know that people out there are going to enjoy it. It makes for a good podcast and increased listenership. So, you know, I have my hats off to you. Like I said, very similar to what something like we do. So I'm going to start downloading your show too.
Well, and I definitely appreciate that, Jim. And, you know, just, you know, whenever you hear anyone give advice to, say, a writer, they always talk about, you know, write what you know. You know, write what you're passionate about. So, you know, same thing goes for you fellas. You're doing what you're passionate about, which is pro wrestling, the haunt industry, horror in general. And, you know, I've tried to, you know, it's taken a little time. You know, all of us are mature fellas. And it's taken us a while to get this point, but I think we all share the common bond of pursuing what we're truly passionate about. And, you know, that to me is, you know, money aside, not that we all don't need to make money, obviously, but money aside, living a life based upon being pushed and prompted and motivated by your passion, I mean, honestly, that's the only life that I know how to live. And, you know, for us, it's, you know, pro wrestling is a big part of that. And, you know, things like, you know, for me, it's music and it's paranormal and it's, you know, horror and et cetera, et cetera. But those passions keep us young and those passions keep us motivated and want us to get out of bed every day to keep pushing forward.
Absolutely.
Definitely. The one thing is the body sometimes argues.
I know that all too well, Jim. So, yes, and I'm sure that Donnie can certainly attest to that too. But, you know, we as long as we can keep our minds youthful and invigorated, and hopefully we can drag the body along at least as long as humanly possible.
Yep.
Definitely. Donnie?
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah, for sure. Moving along with your growth path, as we say, in haunting and horror and wrestling, after broadcasting and stuff, you got into photography. And tell us a little bit about your photography background and how you switched from broadcasting to photography.
Sure thing. And, well, you know, I'll try to, so that we're not going here for, you know, 16 hours with, I tend to be a bit long-winded, fellas, so I'll try to make this as concise as possible. So I've been a lifelong pro wrestling fan. Started wrestling training several years ago. It's closing in on 20 years ago now. When I lived in upstate New York, I trained with a school there called World of Hurt Wrestling. It no longer exists at this point, but I trained with a gentleman named Scott Scarsdale, a friend of mine. What's his name? Steve Cruz also trained there with me. And at that point, I cut my teeth on wrestling. At that point, I was having some back issues, so I stepped away with the intent that I would always get back involved. And after having a handful of stutter starts and stops, I kind of, even though I still had a driving passion to want to be involved in wrestling, I begrudgingly kind of put that to the side or put that on the back shelf. And just when I moved to Ohio, moved to Ohio in 2006, I started going to shows and going to independents more regularly. And, you know, this is the first place where I was able to experience Ring of Honor live and went to a lot of local promotions in Dayton and Cincinnati and throughout the surrounding areas. And I got to a point where after I sat in the stands for a while, I kind of just wanted to take my experience and the interactive nature to another level. So I started to bring a camera with me to the shows and just started photographing the events really just for fun in the beginning. And but when I would take the photos, I would take them and I would start to edit them as if, you know, I was getting paid to do it, as if I was the resident photographer. And because I took that much time and care to make what I did look the best that I could, I mean, I was using a bit more of a crude camera at that point. I was just really getting started with everything, but I have an artistic background, so that lended itself well to the process. But I took such care with editing photos that I started to get people's attention, and it started to even convince myself that, hey, you know, maybe I can actually be the real photographer for some of these promotions. And actually, it was around that time that I happened to be on Facebook and saw a post calling for people to inquire about helping with a particular promotion. That promotion being New Ohio Wrestling, and being founded and spearheaded by none other than Donnie Hoover himself, of course. And so Donnie was kind enough to bring me in and really give me my first opportunity on the other side of the guardrail. So, which I will forever be indebted to you, Donnie, for giving me that opportunity, because you didn't know me from Adam, but you were willing to give me a shot. And I, hopefully over the years that I've worked with you, hopefully I've proven myself worthy of the opportunity you gave. And it just kind of grew from there. I, you know, in addition to shooting for New Ohio Wrestling, I started to travel and would photograph a number of different events. I also started to get into photographing MMA, boxing, et cetera, et cetera. Going to photograph bands playing live, things along those lines. So it really was a great learning experience. And in the grand scheme of things, and in my personal evolution, it was the next necessary step to move me forward from kind of putting my ultimate dream on the back burner to actually taking it and grabbing that ball and starting to run forward once again.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. When I got your message about coming in as a photographer, I researched you and looked at your stuff, and I was really impressed with the work you were putting out. So that's why we brought you in and gave you a shot. And like I said, your photography is just phenomenal. I've never had any complaints about it. Everybody that sees it loves it. And so, you know, you've definitely got a knack for it, which, you know, personally, if you ask me, I honestly, including adding into your wrestling career in the wrestling business, you really need to consider continuing photography because you really have a talent for it. But that's on you, you know, it's your deal. It's like your passions. But one thing I want to talk to you about and get, you know, pick your brain about is becoming a ringside photographer. In my opinion, is not like just becoming any photographer. Like you go out and take pictures of trees or scenes or anything like that. There's certain things that a ringside photographer needs to learn. And it's one of the jobs that people in wrestling or people or wrestling fans probably don't really consider or think about, you know, cause they really don't notice, like cameramen and photographers, they kind of block them out when they're watching a match or whatever. But ringside photography could actually be, you know, pretty dangerous if you're in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, give us some tips and stuff you've learned about ringside photography and, you know, just tips to help somebody. To, you know, there may be somebody out there that was like you that, you know, wants to be a photographer, wants to get on the other side of the guardrail. You know, just some tips and things that may help them out.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, with... You know, we were talking earlier about passion and being passionate about what you do. So for anyone who would be interested in doing, you know, any type of ringside photography for pro wrestling, first and foremost, like you have to have a passion for what you're doing. You know, I'm not saying that just somebody that's a great photographer couldn't show up and still do an okay job. But I really do believe that, you know, for people that are passionate about our industry, about the pro wrestling business, it's going to shine through the finished product. You know, your passion for what you're seeing, your understanding of pro wrestling is also a huge benefit to the quality of photos that are going to be produced, because, you know, there's certain formulas that pro wrestling follows. And when you understand, or at least begin to grasp, you know, the mechanics of a match and how things are set up both in the ring and outside the ring, then it's much easier to track the action to make sure that you're in the right place at the right time so that you can try to get the best angles and the best shots possible. But, you know, in regards to being a solid ringside photographer, in addition to having passion, in addition to having an understanding of the business, you've got to have at least fairly good equipment. You have to have a camera that can handle shooting in lower light, because a lot of times some buildings are great. Like, typically your buildings were pretty well lit, Donnie, for the shows that you've run over the years with New Ohio Wrestling. But obviously, as you know, a lot of independent promotions, no knock on anyone, it's just sometimes lighting is not the best. So you have to have a camera that can handle that. You also need to have a camera that can handle high speed, that can shoot, you know, multiple frames per second if you have any intention on getting any kind of action as it's happening. Just photos of you know, what's called in the business, quote unquote, rest holds, are still good photos. But if you really want to get the dynamic nature of wrestling, you need to have a camera that can handle shooting at a high speed so that you can attempt to, you know, freeze action as it's happening. You know, Mallory with Mischievous Panda Photography, she's over the years really taken her game to another level and has become very good at getting great shots in addition to action shots. Rich Morgan, another local guy, has been for many years an excellent photographer and is also adept at, you know, capturing action as well as still photography. But, you know, to me, Donnie and Jim, doing ringside photography, it further connected me with something that I've loved my entire life, which is the art form of pro wrestling. And just like the guys and gals in the ring are telling a story, when I would take photos and share them and get them over to you, Donnie, and I know the process sometimes takes a lot longer than I would like, but to edit photos and to get them to look the way that in my mind I see them, it takes a bit of time to learn editing and to learn how to get things just right. But in essence, when I would share photos, or I would try to tell a story with the photos that I would post, in the same way, again, that people in the ring would tell a story as well. Because ultimately, you know, in large part, that's what we're all doing, is we're trying to tell stories, whether it be in a pro wrestling ring, whether it be a haunted attraction, a horror film, whatever the case may be, we're all trying to tell stories. And as a photographer, you're absolutely telling a story with your images. And to your point, Donnie, a lot of times people don't realize, or I shouldn't say they don't realize, sometimes they don't acknowledge the importance of a really good ringside photographer. In reality, though, when it comes to social media, when it comes to branding a promotion, when it comes to website content or anything along those lines, having really good, crisp, well-edited photos can make, you know, an average promotion look absolutely phenomenal, by virtue of the promotion being willing to take the time, effort, energy to invest in bringing in a solid photographer. With your brand, Donnie, with New Ohio Wrestling, you've consistently put out excellent quality content, excellent quality matches, family-friendly matches that people can feel comfortable bringing their children to, while keeping match quality at a high level. And then to take that and to also have, you know, a solid photographer there to capture all the moments, to share that on social media, it only takes what already is a top quality product and takes it to a whole other level. So the importance of a photographer for both ringside photography and for doing promo photos of the guys, which, you know, that could, I could rant on that for quite some time on how guys and gals in the business should probably be more apt to invest in themselves and be willing to drop a few dollars to their local solid photographer to get some good headshots and promo shots, because it is important. It's important for bookings. It's important to for social media content. It's important to make yourself look like an actual star. Before I continue to rant, though, I'll stop there in case either of you gentlemen would like to chime in.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said about quality photos and helping the companies. Just like with yours, with us, they were always top-notch quality. They were impressive, and they did help us, make us look more legitimate. Even, you know, when we were in areas that weren't real pleasing to the eye, you know, you made them look good, and it gave us more credibility. And yeah, and then you mentioned Mallory with Machivas Panda Photography. She's actually works for us now as well, so we're blessed to have her because she also puts out top-notch quality wrestling. But one question I do have for you, has there ever been a time where you were in the wrong place at the wrong time and maybe caught a boot to the face or anything like that? And if it was, you know, for our company, please let me know because I want to see the video and post it.
So it happened once. It only happened once, and it goes with the territory that you're absolutely right, Donnie, in regards to being ringside and photographing action. And a lot of times you've got a lot of bodies flying around, and it can be kind of difficult to duck and dodge at all times. It goes back again to what I was saying earlier about you have to have an understanding for the product, for what you're watching, so that you can anticipate where you need to be. Doesn't mean that you always are able to get out of the way, but 9 times out of 10, if you have a solid understanding of what's going on, the mechanics of a match and what's happening, then you can put yourself in places to avoid that type of contact. But there was a time, it wasn't for you, it was for a different promotion. It was, and no heat on the guy at all. It was just, strictly an accident. He didn't brutalize me or anything, but he did get me pretty good. Zachary Wentz, who's a member of the Rascals on Impact Wrestling. He did something, he was sliding out of the ring, and he ended up, inadvertently, it was merely an accident, but he ended up kicking me in the chest, and it didn't knock me over. It kind of knocked the wind out of me a little bit, but because it was unexpected. But outside of that, for all the crazy stuff that I've seen or been involved with, hardcore matches, casket matches, parts of tables flying through the air, all these different things. Thank goodness I was very fortunate to not have any serious injuries, other than maybe getting a cut or a scrape on sometimes the ring posts have bolts, depending upon the promotion you work for. Sometimes they'll have bolts that'll be sticking out certain spots. Might have caught myself on those a time or two, but outside of that, knock on wood, not that I have any wood, I'll knock on the wall. Thankfully, no serious injury, not from the photography anyway.
All right, good deal.
You know, David, you know, we've been talking about all this photography and podcasting and such. And before I bring up the next subject, I want everybody to know that quite honestly, David has more to do with Wrestle Horror than you think. And the way I say that is, not only did he design the video intro for our video podcast, but he also designed our logo through Demo Blast Studios. So let's talk about Demo Blast.
So Demo Blast Studios was basically the all-encompassing brand that I would put my photography or my video production work, my artwork, anything along those lines. And Demo Blast Studios is still alive, but I've kind of put that to the side for the time being, just simply so that I can focus on other aspects of pro wrestling. But with Demo Blast Studios underneath that particular brand and business model, I would do a lot. I would do photography. I would do promotional videos for different wrestling promotions. I would combine the two and utilize photography and video editing to create basically highlight videos for different people. But I've created videos for promotions throughout Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky. I've done work for promotions in California and New York. So I've created content for a number of different promotions, including trying to help establish an identity for wrestle horror. I know initially Donnie had the concept and the idea and had a rough idea of what he wanted. And I played with some different images and finally came up with something that he was happy with. And, you know, obviously you guys are still using it to this day, which I absolutely appreciate. It's certainly to me, it feels like a compliment for creating something that you guys felt strongly enough about to want to continue to use. And then just for the video intro, sometimes I create things myself. Sometimes I outsource to different individuals. I'm not the first person to say this, but I'll share this here because I think a lot of people, not just in the wrestling business, but just in entertainment in general, need to get dialed into how good the service is. But there's a website called Fiverr, Fiverr. You can go on Fiverr, and there's an endless amount of things that you can have done on Fiverr. Specifically for what we're talking about, you can outsource having video intros created. You could have logos created. You could have somebody do voiceover work, artwork. I mean, just there's an endless amount of things that you can hire people on Fiverr to do, typically at a pretty affordable rate. So if there were times where I was, you know, swamped with work, or if I just felt like my skill set wasn't at the level of where I wanted the video to be, sometimes I would outsource to Fiverr to have certain things done. So with the logo, that was something that I created. With the video intro, that's something that I actually reached out to Fiverr for, and they helped me create that for you guys. So Fiverr, again, for people in the pro wrestling business and outside, whether it be horror, whether it be whatever, or if you're a musician, any kind of an entertainer, if you're not using that service to enhance your brand, you really need to jump on that because they've been around for a while. Actually, a really good friend of mine, a former Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight champion, Bobby Blaze Smedley, is the one that first turned me onto Fiverr. And it's ended up being an incredible asset to take what I do and to really take it to a whole other level in regards to just concept and creating a brand and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I've got to say, David, I 100% agree with you on Fiverr. I have used Fiverr before with my the traveling actors that I used to own, Mall Traveling Haunt Actors. I contracted them for the logo, and I had 10 different video intros for the incredible price of like less than $50.
And that's my exact point, Jim, is that, you know, people, again, you know, I'll touch back on what I spoke about a little earlier, talking about the photography in regards to people in the wrestling business dropping a dollar to get a decent promo shot done, decent promo photos done. In the same regard, you know, regardless of whether you're in the haunt industry, if you're an actor, a musician, a pro wrestler, what have you, at some point you need to invest in your brand and invest in who you are. And that investment sometimes can come from, you know, having good promo shots done, but it obviously also can come from investing a little bit of money in a service like Fiverr, where, like you said, 10 videos for less than $50. That's crazy. If you went to a professional, they would charge you 10 times that amount. So going on Fiverr, you're still getting awesome quality content that you can share across the board. You know, they give you the ability to own the license or copyright. You don't have to worry about them saying you can't use this on social media or you can't use this on a website. You have the right when you pay for the item. So all of that's taken care of for you. But, you know, people that are serious about their craft and serious about wanting to move ahead in the entertainment industry, period, need to take the time to invest in themselves. And part of that investment comes from things like, you know, searching out services like Fiverr to enhance your brand awareness and how you're perceived overall.
And, you know, I'll wrap up this part of the show by saying,
Good. Nope.
I was going to say, both Donnie and I are wearing the logo on our shirts.
Yep, right there.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yep, we got polo shirts, T-shirts. And for us, you can get stuff on Amazon with it. But one thing I want to point out, just to show a testament of the kind of person David is, as we had talked about me wanting to build a WrestleWhore logo, we had talked about WrestleWhore before I even started it and explained the concept of wanting to combine wrestling and horror and haunted attractions and whatnot. And, like he said, we just, discussed it briefly, and he came up with the design all by himself. And, the top part is a wrestling mask. The bottom part is a skull with a serpent tongue coming out, which I thought was fantastic. And, we had talked about getting a logo made, and I don't even know if we briefly discussed an intro video or not, but, David took it upon himself to create this logo and the video. And he sent them to me, and he didn't charge me a dime. He did it as a favor, as a friend, and which just shows, the kind of person that he is. And I didn't know he used Fiverr, and I almost feel bad now that I want to send him some money to cover it. I didn't know he used them. But, I mean, they both turned out fantastic. And, like I said, he took the initiative and took it upon himself to do that for us. And it just goes to show you the kind of person that David really is.
But and I absolutely appreciate you saying that, Donnie. And to put the to add to our mutual admiration society, I will throw this back on you and say that I did that because I've always thought highly of you as a person, as a family man, as a businessman. I will always be indebted to you in regards to giving me really what I feel is my first real opportunity to get back involved with this crazy art form called pro wrestling. But obviously over the time that we've worked together, there have been times where, in the past I was more than burning the candle at both ends, overstretching myself, where times it would take me longer to get projects done than I would have liked. And you were always very accommodating and very understanding. And I can't thank you enough for that, because, there were times where I felt horrible that it took so long to get certain projects done, but you were always understanding. You were always very supportive of everything that I did. And at the very least, creating the logo and making sure that video was created, that was the least that I could do to repay you for not just an opportunity, but just your kindness and your understanding and your generosity overall. For anyone listening in regards to the guys and gals in the pro wrestling industry or the haunt business for that matter, if you have an opportunity to work with Donnie Hoover, jump on it. Because the pro wrestling business, there are some good people involved, but as you gentlemen know all too well, there's a whole lot of not such very nice people involved, whole lot of carnies out there. I can honestly say from my heart, Donnie Hoover is not a carny. He's a good guy, a legitimately good guy, who will treat you right. Do your job, do what you're asked to do, go out there and work hard. And he will reward that in kind with opportunity, financially, whatever the case may be. So if Donnie comes a knocking, answer the door.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. And just know that your logos, like I said, your logos are being put to great use. We appreciate it.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
So speaking of wrestling and horror and photography, some people know we haven't really talked about it too much, but there for a while I actually also was a co-owner of a haunted trail, the Trail of Tormented Terror. And you also came out to the trail one night for us and went through and hopefully had a good time. And we got you a couple times and you took pics for us. And all of the haunters that I've sent the pics to were raving about how they turned out. And the Gypsy was there visiting us that night, and Dead Man's Hand was there visiting us night as, you know, guest actors, and they absolutely loved their pictures. Is there a big difference in taking pictures for a haunted trail that's out in the dark with smoke and fog and, you know, darkness and all that compared to wrestling? Is there like a big difference, or you just do the same mindset?
It was very different. The lighting restrictions definitely played a part, where when I came to visit you, my gal Becky, and I believe her son Logan were with us, and they were helping me add some additional light into certain scenes, because, you know, just with it being nighttime and with it being outside, it changes the way that you photograph a certain scene or a moment. Photography for people that may be brand new to the whole genre, light is such a huge component of what you can do visually through the lens of a camera. So, you have to have enough light at certain points to really be able to capture a moment. Otherwise you're just going to have completely blurred darkness. So light is definitely important, but, you know, certain things that I would do, photographing a wrestling event definitely carried over into photographing the haunted trail. You know, I always tried to, frame shots differently than other people would. I feel like whenever you're in a particular niche or a particular field, you need to look at what your colleagues are doing, what other people are doing. So I would look at what other photographers were producing, what type of shots they were getting, what type of camera angles they were using, and I would try to do something different. The way that I edited my photos was different than what other people were doing. And when it came to certain angles, certain camera angles, I would try to think at times more cinematic. Sometimes I would also try to think almost comic book panel style when I would frame certain shots. So I tried to do some of that also with the haunt, but doing the photography on the haunted trail, Donnie, that was, I had a blast. It was something, the lighting restrictions, you know, were a little challenging, but other than that, I mean, we all had fun. It was something different. It was a new challenge for me. And, you know, just the different characters and the different sets. And, you know, one of my favorites was actually photographing you with your mask and your chainsaw. And you had that really cool set. Those were some of my favorite photos to take, because they were so unique and they were so different. They were so dark, dark content wise, that I absolutely had a blast doing that.
Very cool. Actually, we appreciated it very much. And, this kind of transitions us into the horror side. You know, well, we've talked enough about the photography, and so we'll move into, more darker stuff, and, this is where Jim's bread and butter. So I'll let him step in and take over from here.
Okay, so let's start out with the basics. What got you enjoying horror films?
So, you know, I was born, I'll give away my age here. I was born in 75. So I actually have a birthday coming up next month where I'll be turning 45, which is kind of mind-blowing to me, but that I'm almost 45, but, you know, it is what it is. But growing up primarily in the 80s, you couldn't help but be a mark for Freddy Krueger. So, I mean, huge, the Nightmare on Elm Street films were huge. Jason, obviously, with Friday the 13th was big. And, you know, honestly, my love of horror, you know, it was established a little bit when I was young, but it really started to grow as I've got older. So, you know, getting more and more involved in, like, I'm a huge fan of the Hellraiser series. So Doug Bradley as Pinhead is, you know, one of my absolute favorite horror movie icons, to say the very least. But I also have a love for, you know, the classic Universal monsters, Frankenstein, Bela Lugosi as Dracula. All of that stuff is, you know, stayed with me and definitely etched in my mind. And now in regards to horror, you know, I thankfully my gal Becky and her son Logan are big horror fanatics, so they actually a lot of times turn me on to stuff. I know, Donna, you mentioned watching Shudder earlier. That's a service that Becky has, and sometimes I'll watch films and shows with her. And I mean, that's such an awesome channel because there's such varied content from, you know, older movies to, you know, exclusive stuff that they have made just for that particular subscription service. You know, I remember watching a little, you may have seen this, Donnie, they had a short series on there called Dead Wax that was about some type of a, I guess you could say a haunted record that if someone listened to the record, they would, you know, absolutely just lose their mind. But just cool stuff like that stays with me, unique stuff, different stuff. A lot of times I'm rediscovering older films. Like, I just started to watch, Wishmaster the other day. Just trying to find these old gems of movies that, either I'd forgotten or I hadn't seen before. Because just visually, I love, how insanely wild they are. And honestly, for what I do now, I like to strip mine those types of movies just for ideas. Ideas on looks, ideas for dialogue, anything along those lines. But, you know, in addition to that, I've over the years, I've grown to love going to horror conventions. And those are always a blast. And seeing people cosplay different characters and meeting different actors and actresses from all these crazy films. It's a lot of fun. And as much as I love wrestling, and Donnie and Jim, you may be able to attest to this as well. As much as we all love wrestling, sometimes it is nice to actually have some things that you enjoy outside of wrestling, which, you know, horror is definitely one for me. Music is another one, but those things actually add to the enjoyment of wrestling because you can take elements from those different genres and actually carry them over and utilize them in that kind of core passion or love for the pro wrestling industry.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, and I know we've said it again on this show that pro wrestling and horror are more intertwined than people think at times. You know, for example, if you go to a horror convention, more than likely you're going to see some pro wrestlers there. I've met quite a few at Days of the Dead and Horror Hound. So yeah, they do work hand in hand.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's and a lot of the guys and gals have been from the pro wrestling business have actually been in horror movies. So, you know, there's definitely a crossover there. And from a fan base, there's definitely a huge crossover between people who love pro wrestling and people that love the horror genre as well.
Absolutely. So I just have to know, is there one movie out there that just literally scared the shit out of you?
I'm normally not scared. There is one film, I hate to say that I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but this movie came out, and you may know as soon as I describe it. It came out, it must have been in the mid to late 2000s, and I don't even know if I would call it a horror movie, but it definitely stayed with me. It was basically about some type of an alien abduction. And it was shot like it was a documentary. So there were parts of it that looked like it was you know, set up like a movie, and then there was documentary type footage that was interspersed throughout the film. And at the end of the movie, they made it look like the real life person, which the woman that was supposed to be, the story was supposed to be based on, it made it look like the real life version of her at the end was doing some type of a documentary type interview, basically in a almost like an interrogation room, and talking about her experience, and the look on her face, her eyes being sunk into her head, looking like she hadn't slept in weeks, and just recounting this terrifying ordeal. That image stayed with me for, it still etched my mind. Now, after the fact, at the point when I watched it, I had no idea that the entire thing was a work, that it was all just a film, even the documentary parts. So I had no idea at that point, but that they did a hell of a job of convincing me that, you know, what had happened and what this woman had experienced, or at least what she thought she had experienced, that she in her heart felt that that was real. And that scene at the very end, when she did that little interview, basically with the most horrifying look on her face, describing the incident, that freaked me out. Majorly freaked me out. So now I'm curious myself to remember what the name of that film is. I don't know if either one of you guys recognize it, but that film, I know that's an odd one to bring up, but that, if any one movie scared me or freaked me out, that would be the one.
Okay. It sounds familiar. I can't put my finger on it, but I'm going to be looking for it too now.
Yep, sounds very interesting.
It does.
Yeah, it was like, again, you know, when you know it's a work, it probably won't be as effective. But when I watched it initially, again, I had no idea that the entire thing was just all scripted. That none of it was legit. So when I watched it, I just watched it with, you know, without any pretense, without, you know, any notion of how it was going to go, and just from watching it from that standpoint, it freaked me out. It freaked me out for sure. Aside from that, though, most horror films I either find either very interesting, entertaining, or, you know, the gross out stuff sometimes I'll turn my head away from, but not necessarily terrified or scared.
Okay. You know, I like to tell this story every once in a while. I think I've even told it on the show before, but when I was a teenager, my girlfriend and I had just got done watching the Texas Chainsaw Massacre at my house on the VCR, and I had to take her home. So we live about 5 miles apart. I took her home, went back to my house, went into my garage, got my chainsaw, drove back to her house, got underneath her bedroom window, and cranked it up.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is, and I really hope she never listens to my podcast, because we're still friends, because she doesn't know I did. It was me.
is that where the love of the haunt, of working in the haunt industry, is that really where it started for you?
You know, oddly enough, no. Where it started for me was when I was 4.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I loved to scare my mother. That's how it all started. Anytime I could get a chance to sneak around a corner and scare my mom, I would. And it just kind of grew from there. You know, as I got older, it was the costumes, and I even did a little yard haunts by myself and set up like a flying ghost on fishing line. And it just grew over the years until it turned into the juggernaut that I am today, you know.
That is Meat Hook Jim.
That's awesome, though. I mean, but how much does that mirror so many people in the wrestling business, and the fact that so many of us, you know, grew up loving it when we were little like that, and it just stayed with us all these years later, to a point where we just couldn't deny the fact that just sitting and watching it passively as a fan. no longer cut the mustard that we actually wanted to participate because we loved it that much. So no, man, Jim, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Because again, it's fueled by passion, a lifelong passion to do the things that you really enjoy doing. And to me, that's, you know, I'm not knocking anybody that works a career because it pays the bills. We all got to pay the bills, but you know, just to truly live life, I've always felt, regardless money or not, you've got to, no matter what, always pursue the things that you're passionate about.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I was pretty passionate about wrestling too, because at the age of 15, I attempted to build a ring in my backyard.
I'll tell you fellas a little story. It's a silly one. I'll make it brief, but just because you said that, it made me think of this. So when I was a kid, I grew up in the country in upstate New York. And a lot of times, you know, it was just me. Sometimes my buddies would come over and I would, you know, beat the holy hell out of these poor kids wrestling in the backyard. But a lot of times I was there by myself and I'd watch wrestling on TV like we all did. And then I would go in my backyard and I would have matches. So I would I took an old duffel bag, an old military duffel bag that one of my uncles had, and I'd stuffed it full of clothes. So that was my opponent. And I remember this was around the time that the Great Muda was really catching on in the United States with the NWA. And of course, Muda was the first person that I saw anyway that ever did a moonsault off the top rope. So here I am, this, you know, kid, little pudgy kid who loved wrestling. For some reason in my mind, I thought, without ever practicing, that I could do a picture perfect moonsault. So I set up in my backyard. I had the duffel bag, the military duffel bag, filled with old clothes. That was my my opponent slash my crash pad. And we had an old burning barrel in the backyard. If you grew up in the country, you probably might have had a burning barrel. For people in the city, they're not going to know what the hell I'm talking about. But it's like a big industrial barrel. I put the lid on it, and that was my ring post in my top row. I climbed up on top of the burning barrel. Jumped. In my mind, I did a picture-perfect moonsault. In reality, somehow, I flew, I landed on the ground. I'm on the ground. I don't know how I got there. I hear this sound, whoosh, 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 whoosh. And for a moment in my mind, I'm thinking, what is that? And all of a sudden, dong, the metal lid from the burning barrel, somehow when I did my picture perfect moonsault, somehow went flying up into the air, rotated a handful of times and landed and conked me on the top of my head. Now my little kid version of that is I hit an absolutely perfect moonsault on my crash pad. The reality is my little chubby ass fell on the ground and I got conked in the head with a metal burning barrel lid. But which could explain my current memory loss and demeanor, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, mine was trees. I've never even told this story before. Just my family knows about it. But back when I was like 8 years old, I used to wrestle my two trees out in the front yard. And this was like my mom's favorite story to tell everybody, you know, during family reunions or whatever. But I had two trees that were probably 10 feet apart. So they were my ropes and I'd run and bounce off each of the trees. And the smaller tree was my opponent because I didn't want to face the bigger tree. And my first lesson in pro wrestling was when I threw a shoot punch at it. And then, after I felt that, I went to forearms.
So
I started hitting them with some soft forearms. I'd throw clotheslines at them. I'd chop them. I'd act like I picked the tree up out of the ground and body slammed it. I'd be out there for hours just beating the shit out of these two trees. And my mom would just look out the window and just laugh her ass off at me. that was my pre-workouts in the early childhood days.
that's fantastic. Yeah. In addition to the backyard, many a times I broke the my bed, jumping off from the dresser drawer and trying to be the Macho Man or Jimmy Snuka. And yeah, bro, that's, you know, how can you not think back to that time and not have a huge smile on your face? I mean, that's pro wrestling right there. I mean, that's why I've always felt like it's why I appreciate your shows, Donnie, for New Ohio Wrestling, because they're shows you can feel comfortable bringing family and kids to. And to me, like, that connection with the little ones in the crowd, I mean, that's such a huge part of wrestling for me, is you know, having that connection and seeing the absolute joy in their face when they see, you know, their favorite hero, or, you know, they boo their most hated baddie. And I mean, that's wrestling to me. That's always been that way. But that's awesome. That's awesome to hear, Donnie. You're that's a t-shirt right there, Donnie versus the Tree.
All right.
we got to make that one up for you.
So since we got back on the subject of wrestling, David, let's talk about David Barnabas Spector. How did he become?
So, you know, again, with pro wrestling, it's something that has been in my blood for a long, long time. And to my own, just, you know, not having enough belief in my own ability, I put it on the back burner for many, many years. And, you know, it got to be a point where in 2018, and it actually ties into the photography, believe it or not, I photographed a bit more of a higher profile show. It involved a larger promotion, and there were named talent on the show, and I was excited to do it, and did the photos. And because of the local promotion that was hosting the larger national promotion, because of that affiliation, they wanted the photos as soon as humanly possible. So, you know, typically it takes me some time to edit, you know, what can be thousands upon thousands of photos that I take per event. That whole process takes time. But, you know, I expedited the process. I got it done for him in a few weeks. I got him the photos. And typically in wrestling, it's customary that when a promotion shares photos that a certain photographer will do for them, that they'll mention the photographer or the brand, because realistically, that's the way that wrestling photographers continue to get work. Is, you know, a promotion will share certain photos, they'll say photos, you know, courtesy of or taken by such and such Mischievous Panda Photography or what have you. And that just helps the photographer out, just even in the slightest bit, to hopefully get them more work down the road. So I did photos for this larger event, excited, got them the photos, rushed to get them done. And then when they shared everything, and the larger promotion shared everything as well, I had no mention whatsoever. So when I saw that, honestly, it flipped a switch in my mind where I thought to myself, if this is how I'm going to be treated as a photographer in the business, where it had nothing to do with finances, it just had something to do with just giving a simple photo credit, which, Donnie, you've always been great about giving me a photo credit any single time you've ever shared anything that I've done, which I absolutely appreciate. And I hope any other photographers that work for you also appreciate that as well, because it is important. So after that whole ordeal, I decided in my mind, if I'm going to deal with all of this as a photographer, then why am I wasting my time doing photography when I know in my heart of hearts that I actually want to be a part of the business fully, on the other side of the camera? So realistically, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm not a super young guy. I knew that more than likely my body was not going to be able to take a full wrestling schedule. But from looking at the wrestling landscape now, a lot of young guys and gals out there who are incredibly athletic, but a lot of them not so good on the microphone, not the greatest talkers. It's a skill that can be learned over time, but from looking at that environment and seeing a lot of young people involved in wrestling, not a lot of older folks or mentors involved in wrestling, and really not a whole lot of really great talkers involved, at least on the independent level, I figured, you know, if I was going to get involved, rather than as a wrestler, which is what I dreamed about since I was a kid, I could more than likely probably be a pretty effective manager. I can talk. I'm very confident about the way that I speak. I have a certain look. So it just, the brainstorming began. And I kind of tapped into the things that I was interested in. Horror, paranormal, you know, just the odd, the different, and the strange, as I spoke about before. And this alter ego, this version of myself named David Barnabas Spector was born. And, you know, a big launching pad for me to establish the character is I was in attendance at the first all-in event, the predecessor to AEW that they had in Chicago. And during that event, that weekend, they did a convention. And at the convention, I had an opportunity to cut a promo with Tony Schiavone, which was an absolute pleasure. So, you know, obviously Tony Schiavone being easily top 10, one of the top 10 announcers, play-by-play guys in wrestling ever. If you watch the NWA in the 80s or WCW in the 90s, you know, I mean, Tony Schiavone was the voice of wrestling on the Turner stations. So doing a little interview with him helped to get the look out so that people knew, you know, the look, they knew the name. And then, you know, Tony was nice enough to share the audio from that experience on his podcast, What Happened When. So that really got the ball rolling. And, you know, there were, again, some difficulties. After I had started training again, unfortunately, I tore my right bicep, and it took a little bit of time to heal. Once that healed, I started to train with Cody Hawk here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about Cody. Jim, I know your daughter obviously trains with Cody, and she's developed incredibly well, has done so well under Cody's tutelage. Cody Hawk is an amazing trainer. He was patient. He was kind. He knew my physical limitations, but he also pushed me to be the best version of myself that I could be. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had even the a small percentile of the success that I've had to date inside the wrestling business if it wasn't for his teaching. But the David Barnabas Spector in Darkness Worldwide, Barnabas is me. There is no character and not character. Barnabas may be aspects of my personality that sometimes I'm not the most proud of or the happiest about, but there are real elements of who I am rooted in who Mr. Spector really is. And a lot of classic horror is in there. Certainly Doug Bradley as Pinhead is in there. Some of the classic pro wrestling managers like Paul Ellering and Gary Hart are in there. Kevin Sullivan, Jake Roberts, the list goes on and on. There's all little elements of these people that are mixed in to what makes up David Barnabas Spector. Darkness Worldwide is, you know, if you watched World Class Championship Wrestling back in the day where the Von Erichs The Von Erichs Freebird rivalry was the most classic. Growing up, that was the first wrestling that I watched on TV. And Skandar Akbar, one of their main managers, had Devastation Incorporated. To me, Darkness Worldwide is my version of Devastation Incorporated, because Skandar Akbar always managed like the biggest of the big, the baddest of the bad, the odd, the strange. You know, he took care of them all. And in a way, later on, Kevin Sullivan would do that as well with, you know, different incarnations of his groups, and of course with the Dungeon of Doom and WCW, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, those guys kind of laid out the blueprint for what I currently do. You know, who I am now in pro wrestling in many ways is an homage to the wrestling managers of the past, but it also is taking that whole concept and idea and moving it into the future. And, you know, when the world is somewhat back to normality again, I am chomping at the bit, absolutely salivating to move this name and this character and this brand forward, because I have so many ideas, so many things that I want to do, so many places that I want to take this. Before we went on air today, you know, Donnie, you know, obviously we were talking about how, obviously, with everything happening in the world right now, it's thrown a huge monkey wrench into our plans for the year. And just trying not to get frustrated by all that and to keep the eye on the prize, you know, absolutely, when things are back to some kind of level of normality, I am absolutely raring, ready to go to take everything that I was doing prior to this and to absolutely move it to the next level. Because, you know, I'll document this on your program today. My eventual goal in pro wrestling is to make it to somebody's TV. Growing up, that was my goal. Growing up, that was what I saw as a wrestling star. Is you would watch TV every Saturday morning, or watch Saturday Night's Main Event, or whatever the case may be, and the characters that were beaming through your television set, they weren't just random Joes and Joannes. Those were superstars. Those were comic book characters. Those were legends. And in my mind, that's my goal, is to, even if it's only one time, my goal is to somehow get Barnabas on TV. And I'm going to try my damnedest to make that happen. You know, we'll life has a tendency of taking us in odd directions, as this year obviously is testament to that. But I'm unwavered in my desire to want to move this whole thing forward and to realize that lifelong goal and dream.
Well, you know, I think you've got all the tools, because I've watched you at FGW for months, and you're always very entertaining. And I think one of my favorite angles was the whole Billy storyline with Uncle Spectre and everything that you did there. There was darkness, there was humor. You wrapped up everything into a neat, spooky little package, and I've always appreciated that.
Well, Jim, you know, and I thank you for that, because that FGW, Future Great Wrestling in Hamilton, Ohio, I absolutely consider my home promotion. Again, the affiliation with Cody Hawk, the ability to learn, the ability to try different things, the ability to be creative, and to have somebody strong at the helm to direct the chaos. That's important. Donnie, you know this all too well, in addition, because, you know, wrestling promotions run all across the country, all around the world. You got so many different people with so many different talents and ideas, but you need to have a strong presence in the locker room to direct the traffic and to make sure that things go in the direction you need them to go. And at FGW, that's Cody Hawk. And, you know, I very much appreciate everything he's provided to me, the learning, the training, the tutelage, the inspiration. But FGW was a huge opportunity for me to learn and grow as a performer. It allowed me to add, as you said, different layers to do, you know, comedy, to do straight stuff, to do the very evil, to do the entire mix, and to take people on that incredible roller coaster ride. Working with Billy, aka William Wolf, absolutely a high point of my my time in the business thus far. Such a fun ride and so unexpected. I don't think any of us anticipated how incredibly over that character would be, but you've been in that building, so you know that from the start of the show to the end of the show, that crowd would chant, "We want Billy." That's how incredibly over that character was. And when I saw that, it made me want to work with him even more so that we could basically get as much out of that as humanly possible. I compare it to recently on AEW, Jericho wanting to work with Orange Cassidy. Jericho's not dumb. He looks at the roster and he sees who's really over. And Orange Cassidy is one of their most over performers. And by virtue of working with him, he's been able to bring different elements, different levels out of Orange Cassidy that people hadn't seen before. Again, trying to get more out of somebody who's already over. And that's all really I was trying to do with working with Billy, aka Wolf, is, you know, with him being that strongly over, let's help to keep him over. And let's give him somebody to, you know, you've got to have in any story a antagonist protagonist. So let me play my part in that and give him somebody to be his nemesis. And you know, let us build the story from there. But I'm incredibly happy with the way that turned out. I'm incredibly happy that before the pandemic hit, that he and I were able to have that match at Origins 2, because you know, to me, that was the ultimate culmination of a story that lasted for quite a few months to build to that point, and to see him get his comeuppance and to see the fans' reaction when they finally got the satisfaction of not only does he get his hands on me, but also they get their beloved William Wolf back. That was awesome. It was, the entire thing was awesome, but Origins 2 was an awesome experience to see something that we had thought of and planned, to see all of that come to fruition and to see the satisfaction on the fans' faces. Because ultimately, that's what this is all about, is making sure that the fans, the paying customer, that they leave happy and satisfied. And if that means that old Barnabas has to wear a turkey suit like I did at the Thanksgiving show, yeah, then I'll do that. If it means I've got to get slopped over the head by a good old boy down in Kentucky who had a farmer gimmick so he can get his comeuppance on me, that's the way it goes sometimes. So I'm, you know, I've shown more quite a few times in the last year that I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. Heavily influenced by the late, great Bobby the Brain Heenan, I will do whatever needs to be done to make sure that the fans leave happy and satisfied.
You think, yeah, you do that in spades.
Yeah. If I can put you on the spot for a minute and have a little fun. As we all know, Ohio wrestling's been shut down, so we haven't been really able to do anything this year for the most part. So when Ohio wrestling does open up and you do go back to FGW, can we have Barnabas join us and let us know what Darkness Worldwide has planned for FGW when they return?
Absolutely. You know, I've been watching from afar. I've been paying attention to what's been going on. I have my finger on the pulse because there are new trainees, new people that are working towards an in-ring debut over at FGW. So when the promotion is back up and running, the fans will definitely be in for a treat because they're going to see some brand new faces in addition to the stars that they already know and love. The FGW fans, Barnabas hates their guts.
Yes, he does.
But you know, me as a human being, as much as I love to make them hate me, I do sincerely appreciate their love and dedication of the brand and of the people involved. Because for many of them, not to say that they don't watch other wrestling product, but I really feel like there's a large part of the FGW fan base that to them, FGW is pro wrestling. Like, it's not just an independent promotion that happens to be down the road from them. To them, that is pro wrestling. Those are their main stars. And that's why they appreciate the product so much and why the FGW locker room appreciates them so much. So I think they're definitely going to be in for a treat when everything is back up and running again, because, you know, it's going to be definitely the deck of cards is going to be shuffled. Things are going to be a lot different. And I dare say when David Barnabas Spector finally returns and when they finally see the return of Darkness Worldwide, it will be different than what they've seen before. And we'll leave it at that. But I absolutely would love to come back on the show at that point in time.
Excellent. So as we wind down here, David, is there anything you want to plug about everything you do? You know, how people can find out more about all your different ventures of David Barnabas Spector, Darkness Worldwide. I know you've got some websites out there.
So currently just the basic social media to find out anything in regards to myself or Darkness Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook at Darkness Worldwide. We're on Instagram at Darkness Worldwide Brand. I'm on Twitter at Darkness World W1. You can also find me. I'm on Twitter under David Barnabas Spector. On Facebook is David Barnabas Spector as well. Radio Dark is, again, it's on Spreaker, Spotify, iTunes, all the major podcast outlets. And, you know, merchandise, I have a Teespring store. It's under Darkness Worldwide. There's a link on all of my social media if you want to check that out. There's the classic Darkness Worldwide logo t-shirt, but then there's also a handful of new designs that I've posted, different variations of the logo. There's actually a horror version of the Darkness Worldwide logo that I've created. There's quite a few. There's a black metal version. So just to spice things up a little bit, but that's basically the main social media. Admittingly, I've been a little more of a recluse as of late. I've been spending more time plotting and strategizing and trying to figure out what my next steps are going to be, because, you know, as many of us are in this rut, we're, you know, very much in a bit of a limbo, just waiting for things to get under control so that we can resume life as we knew it. And hopefully we'll look something like that when things are back to normal. In the meantime, any updates, anything new, check us out on social media.
Excellent. Excuse me. Donnie, any last words?
No, I just appreciate David coming on, and he's been a great guest. A lot of good information about photography and something that we haven't really touched on before. And like we'd mentioned in previous episodes, we're going to start touching on the different aspects of the business of pro wrestling and the different jobs and entails, and as well as in the haunt industry. So, yeah, I just appreciate David coming on, and it was pretty insightful information, and I hope somebody learned something from it.
Well, if nothing else, Donnie and Jim, hopefully we help to peel back the curtain a little bit on some different aspects of the pro wrestling business. But for any aspiring wrestling photographers, get your hands on a decent camera and go to shows and either take photos just sitting in a seat or ask the promoter or booker if it would be okay that you try your hand at photographing a show. And practice, because that's the only way that you're going to improve. And if you're serious about it, you know, people will take you seriously, and those opportunities will manifest themselves. Ultimately, where I'm at right now in the wrestling business, it's because I've had this lifelong love and passion for wrestling, And whatever you truly love that much, that you're passionate about to that degree, the universe, life in general, has a way of manifesting it in front of you. Now it's just your job, your task, to take full advantage of that.
Very sage advice from somebody who's had his finger on the pulse of a lot of things over the year. David, it has been absolutely amazing having you as a guest here on the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Hopefully, or definitely, well, I should say definitely, but hopefully not the last time. Thank you so much for everything that you do in the business, for creating our logo, for just entertaining the masses. I find you so entertaining when I see you, so I can't thank you enough for that.
Thank you so much, Jim and Donnie. Thank you so much for inviting me on. And, you know, you guys have really carved out a unique niche with Wrestle Horror, and I absolutely look forward to seeing where you take this thing in the coming years.
Well, we got some big plans moving forward, so you won't be disappointed.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear.
With that being said, I am Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our special guest, David Stockwell, a.k.a. David Barnabas Spector. This has been the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We'll catch you on the next show.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.